Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So we're seeing in Michigan again the Trumpians out there, trying to recreate Fort Lauderdale, trying to yell and scream and carry on and pound on windows, trying to recreate those great moments from during the middle of the pandemic, where they were throwing their hissy fit and their tirades. Only now, the folks who are in the party who tell us that they believe in the Constitution, that they believe in the rule of law, that they believe in the sanctity of the ballot box, they believe that we have rights, inalienable rights, they're saying stop the count. Stop counting legally cast ballots. And why? Because their guy's losing. And in reality, their guy's lost, Michigan. But still, not going to stop them. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on where we are at the moment, I've asked my good friend Robert Wiener to come talk with us. Robert's the president of Robert Wiener Associates News, one of my favorite people in Washington, D.C. He's been a muckety-muck with numerous politicians, was a communications guy for the Clinton era, all-around good guy. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for that, Rick. I think there has been a lot of muckety about it, so I appreciate it.
So have you ever seen anything? I mean, you've been doing this stuff a lot of
years.
Sure. This is crazy. This is worse than 2000.
Well, it's more ludicrous than 2000, as the lawyers explained. And we all went through that. And as you know, in 2000, I was part of the Clinton administration. So, then it was a recount. And so this is for the actual voting of the processes that the states have the law. They are throwing spaghetti against the wall, and it is not going to work. The state laws are being upheld for what they are. The only changes that they're blocking are when the pandemic caused some necessary changes in terms of timing. Kavanaugh went, played Trump lackey on that one, and they ruled that you had to end it within 3 days or something instead of a week, because the state court changed the state law to accommodate the pandemic. But if it's the state law itself, they haven't changed any of that. And all these states are following, because the Constitution says that each state does their own thing on laws, on elections. The Constitution says that each state does it. So they're not going to get anywhere. And everybody says these are completely frivolous lawsuits. I listened, and so did you, I'm sure, to the attorney generals and the secretaries of state of Michigan and Wisconsin, that Trump's got nothing but creating a feeling of chaos, which isn't going to matter because the voting of the people is going to decide. And right now, everybody says, Rick, that Biden is going to be a 270 very quickly.
Yeah.
So he's got Wisconsin already. He's got Michigan already. And it's called by NBC and AP. And I'm a little worried about the Arizona proportions dropping down a little bit, but it should be all right there. But it's not even necessary. He's got Nevada. He's got that Omaha single delegate that brings him to 270. And then if Atlanta comes in and Philadelphia come in your state, and also the other cities in your state, Carville's saying he's going to have Pennsylvania by 100,000.
That's quite possible. I mean, I was told on Wednesday afternoon there were still a million ballots to be counted.
Right.
And if the numbers were the same as they were, it was a 70-30 split.
Right.
With Biden getting 70% of the vote and 30% going to Trump, just like the inverse of when people showed up to vote. And that's what I kept telling people on Election Day. Relax. You're going to see big numbers. It's going to be eye-popping. And Trump's going to come out, as he did, as was extremely predictable, and claim that he won.
After he said he wouldn't, he isn't going to play games, and then he played games. And Georgia, the same thing. Atlanta, they're waiting for the votes around Atlanta and the suburbs everywhere. So this thing, people have said Biden's going to get at least 270 and up to 315. I mean, there's ranges depending on whether he gets Pennsylvania and whether he gets Georgia. But he's got enough now, as it is, if the votes hold. But as I said, I'm a little worried about Arizona because the proportions are shrinking a little bit on same day of the Republicans showing up and then just counting some of them who drop off their ballots. But this is tight. They said that it's like if it's the 59 that's the Trump people, then he can pull off Arizona. But if it's the 53-54, because some of it is African American votes who listened to the networks and didn't mail their thing at the end and brought their stuff in, then Biden will hold on in Arizona. But I don't think it's going to come down to that anyway.
Right. But here's the thing. I mean, there are a lot of people who are looking at the polls, Bob, and going, you know, how did the polls get it so wrong? How did we get this so wrong? What were the issues? What were the things that swayed people? And I've said, look, you know, at the end of this, it comes down to the fear and smear. I mean, you know, Trump spent the entire campaign, you know, telling us that Joe Biden was the most liberal, most socialist, most, you know, the craziest politician ever to live. And he was going to defund the police and he was going to, you know, ship in MS-13 to live next door to you. And he was going to give them free health care and steal your children and all these things. I mean, I literally had a guy on the line at Election Day tell me that Joe Biden's a pedophile, socialist, communist. You know, he's you're shame on you. All of the horrible stuff that you can imagine. And these people believe this stuff.
Negative politics, unfortunately, works. And, Rick, you would not have wanted to hear my interview last night after the DNC, National Democratic Club, party that cleared out at 9 o'clock because everybody was totally depressed, thinking that we're into another Hillary. And so I come home, and I had to do LBC radio at about 10 o'clock, and I was just talking about how America, I can't believe that people vote for a guy who wants to grab him by the you-know-what, has five bankruptcies from Russia, and there's no mystery in terms of what the allegiance is there. And Comey even said, and the fact that Comey pointed out when Trump said he didn't have time to do the golden shower in the Moscow hotel room, and then it turned out Trump was there for 2 days, and now Trump's own relatives say he's been doing golden showers all over the place. So, you know, and who paid off the porn stars.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Bob. Nobody cares. None of his supporters care about that.
Well, that's my point. That's why I did the depressed thing, thinking that, Jesus, this guy actually has a shot against winning, and he might squeeze it out. But then today I feel much better watching, obviously, Wisconsin. You know, they said the scream in the Biden headquarters when Michigan came in and flipped because Trump was trying to claim he had Michigan. Right. And the same with Wisconsin. So the mood has shifted back. I'm still a little depressed, though, because how on earth did we not win the Senate some of those seats? I really thought we had a chance on McConnell. I thought we had a chance against Lindsey Graham.
Come on, Bob. You really thought there was a chance for McConnell? I said they shouldn't have given McGrath a dime. He was
tied at one point in the poll.
They should have stayed the hell away from Graham and McConnell. They should have spent that money in places where you had a better shot. Same thing with what's her name up in Maine? You weren't going to beat her. And we spent
there too,
so much resources on it.
Gideon was ahead, you know, 4 or 5. So your point on how the polls were so wrong, I guess we just can't take the science as science in this case. I thought the pollsters had all the negatives built in, and we all were, Rick. We all were. What do you got to work with? You got the polls. But, geez, to be wrong, luckily this time it might not cost Biden the presidency, and I think we're going to get it. But it did certainly cost us being right about the option of the Senate going against McConnell.
Yeah, I was hoping Joni Ernst was going to go down. I was hoping that, you know, Susan Collins had finally screwed up enough that Maine would want to pitch her out.
How does Maine trust her? I don't get it.
Again, you know, as you said, it comes down to the negative stuff. And Democrats just don't do negative well. And it comes back down to the same Hillary era kind of stuff of, you know, when they go low, we go high. At some point, we can't be clean anymore.
Is Biden being too nice now? What do you think?
Of course he was. I mean, at some point, you got to stop being clean. You got to get in the mud with the pigs and beat the snout off of them.
I mean, I want his kind of politics to be the kind that people can reason with each other and talk with each other and be nice to each other and work with each other and get an infrastructure bill through. But it looks like he just is maybe too nice. I don't know.
Yeah, but how do you do that with people who are going to chant "lock her up" or "lock him up" at the drop of a hat?
Right.
I mean,
and who surround, as you started the show, surround a Detroit vote counting area and try to bust it down and stop the counting. I don't know how you deal with people like that. I don't know the answer.
And this is where I've come out, and I've been saying for a very long time, it comes back down to getting into the grassroots and getting them and having those face-to-face conversations. We live in this era where we think we can do everything over digital, over social media. I was on a call where they said that, you know, the future of campaigning is what we just did, where you're going to call everybody, you're going to text them, you're going to Zoom in, you're going to do all of that. I go, no. The way you win elections is you go to somebody and you shake their hand and you look them in the eye and you have a conversation with them. We got to get back to that.
I've done that with Trump voters. I'm at the National Press Club, as you know. And I think 2/3 of that place is potentially Republican Trumpies. Maybe not Trumpies, but certainly old-style Republicans. And you have conversations, and you talk about the five bankruptcies and the golden showers and the hotel room and the compromise president and the fact that he's all about himself and narcissist. And you read his book, and in 1985 he was building deals with Russia. If you read The Art of the Deal, it's on page 27. He starts with deals with Russia, early in his career, and all of that, and the way the image he's created for our kids, which I think is the worst.
Right. No, that's true.
And to give that image to politics when you know it's supposed to be, you know, a glorious do the most for the most people possible kind of a career that people get into it for. And you have a conversation and you think you've scored a point. You haven't scored a point. They're still where they were. They're still racist, bigoted, ego-driven people who want to make money and think that the Trump tax cuts does it for them.
No, you're right. And that is the hard part in all this. And look, you know, there are people who in their hearts are racists and bigots, and I don't know how you get past that.
I don't either.
I don't know how you change that culture. But what we're doing currently, what's happening right now, isn't winning elections. And I know there are people saying, well, we're just going to wait it out and we'll wait till down the road until we find out a different way to divide ourselves.
I think Biden wins, don't you?
I think he's going to win this, but we didn't get the Senate. So what are you going to accomplish?
Yeah. And we lost some seats in the House, which is ridiculous.
Right. You lost seats in the House, but you still got control of the House.
Right.
But you didn't win the Senate. So what's going to happen for the next 2 years until the
midterm?
Well,
actually, McConnell is more reasonable, and the Senate is more reasonable than Trump ever could hope to be on his pinky. The Senate is rational. There's going to be an infrastructure bill this time. There's no question about that. Clyburn told me that the Republicans didn't want to pay for it in the House. Now, I think they'll do some of that. I think McConnell will also take that Alexander's Murray bill on fixing Obamacare. They have to. If the court does anything to strike Obamacare down, and they got to give it some time leeway, they get like 2 years to phase in or something. But if the court does that, then they've got to fix the exchanges, and Biden's idea of public option is, I think that kind of thing can happen legislatively in the Senate.
Hold on. My head's just exploded.
Am I dreaming?
My head just exploded. You're going to tell me that after all this time of screaming about how horrible socialized medicine is, that McConnell's going to now turn around and say, we're going to fix the dreaded Obamacare?
He's got to, because he's got 20 million people and 130 million people on the pre-existing conditions, 20 million without health care. They've got to do something like that, and they got a Republican clan inside the Senate that wants to do something about it.
I hope you're right. I hope there's a clan inside the Senate that wants to do something.
And even a bunch of Republican governors have supported Medicaid because their hospitals are screaming that they're going broke without what the bill does for Medicaid.
But I got to tell you, it's been my view for a very long time that these people really don't care about the rest of us, and that it's about their political ideology. And their ideology is most certainly not in the Affordable Care Act, which was their ideology.
Of course it was.
Before it wasn't.
It was Bob Dole's idea. It's private insurance. It's a terrible thing. It lets the insurance company still make $1 zillion and keep America's health care costs the highest of any world. But nonetheless, it at least expanded the benefits.
Right. So let me ask you a last line of questioning, because obviously this isn't over. And I've been telling people how we've been right. I think common wisdom was right on how this was going to play out. And it's hit every step of the way as we predicted. What do you see going forward? What's the common thought going forward? Do you think the courts get involved in this? Do you think they shy away from it? How do you see it playing out?
Yes, I think by the time these states are clever. They're counting quick to beat the court so they can't say stop the counting. That's what's going on. It's McCaffrey always used to, Four-Star General McCaffrey always used to say, work quick, and by the time the bureaucrats come around and tell you you're doing the wrong thing, you've already got it underway.
Right.
I think that's what's going on here, and I think the Secretaries of State and the AGs are good on that. But, Rick, the hole in the whole thing is what you asked in the beginning of the show. How did this happen, and what do we do about the mentality that cost the Senate and caused Biden to be so close in all against this horrible person? And you and I have to have a lot more conversation to solve that one, because we can't do it in one show, and I don't know how to do it.
Well, then you're going to have to come back and tell me how we figure it out.
Okay.
Good stuff. Bob, I appreciate the time,
yep.
Man.
Right. Take care. Bye.
Our good friend Bob Wiener, President Wiener and Associates News. You can see his pieces all over the country in newspapers all around. Always a good friend of the program. Again, thanks so much, Bob. But here's the thing, and this is going to be one of those ongoing themes as we move forward, because how do we unite some of the country back together? I know there are people who are absolutists and they're going to stay on the sidewalks and bomb the rest of us. But at some point, we can't continue to be this divided. We can't continue to be pitted against each other and subcategorized and sliced and diced, where there's skirmishes all over. And ultimately, the status quo prevails. There's got to be a way for us to move forward. There's got to be a way for us to find that common ground. And look, we're going to have to figure it out. And it's going to be long and it's going to be painful. And as I've been telling everybody, you know, we're going to have those conversations. We're going to do that hard work. And you're going to be part of that as well. And I want to know your thoughts. Because, look, nobody's got all the answers. If you got a thought, I want to hear it. You can email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. How do you bridge those divides? How do you close those gaps? How do we get people talking again? And look, as a labor guy who, you know, like I said, if you can't agree to walk in a picket line to help people fight for better wages, hours, and conditions, I don't know what you can agree to. But again, love to hear your thoughts. rick@therickssmithshow.com. We live in amazing times.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.